He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
How many Springsteen concerts have you seen?
Probably 15 or so.
15 or so. Mm-hmm. That's more than me. But I've seen him perform in other more intimate venues also, Springsteen. Governor Chris Christie, 120 Springsteen concert. He knows every word of every song. And yet the boss not keen on Governor Christie. Let me start this morning, everybody. Good morning, New York. How you doing? You're listening to Geraldo with Noam Layden on 77 WABC. This is a tale of two tough guys. Now, both these men I'm going to be talking about, strong, extremely confident, and neither is backing down from controversial issues that would have crushed lesser candidates. And, of course, I'm talking about Donald Trump and Governor Chris Christie. Two candidates for president, one already announced, the other announcing today. We'll cover it here live, Christie. Candidates for president cut from the same cloth, proud, boisterous, unconventional. And their styles have served them well in their hugely successful lives. I mean, Trump assumed the mantle of his family's real estate business, but then he used what was a relatively modest enterprise as an amazing springboard to create a sprawling worldwide company with extensive holdings in many of the most desirable locations on this planet. I mean, Donald Trump, I'm a huge fan. He has flamboyantly remade entire neighborhoods. I think it's fair to say that he's reinvigorated golf as a high-end sport. In fairness, he's resurrected. He's built many of the world's best golf courses. And with Celebrity Apprentice, a show I know pretty well, he has remained a hit fixture on network television for 11 years, 14 of 15 television seasons. That is a remarkable achievement. You know how tough it is.
Yeah.
Christie, on the other hand, he went from fierce federal prosecutor of public corruption to insurgent Republican candidate for governor in an overwhelmingly Democratic state, New Jersey. And you remember, it wasn't so long ago, in his first term, for most of his first term, he was one of the most popular governors in the history of the Garden State. He took on the teachers' union. He capped the growth of property taxes. And he showed just enough compassion toward minorities, including immigrants, to seem to me, ladies and gentlemen, like he was, Chris Christie, the sort of Republican candidate who could unite a broad coalition, broad enough to win back the White House. But for both these presidential candidates, Christie and Trump, and remember, we'll carry Christie's announcement live, what time exactly?
11 a.m.
11 a.m. right here on 77 WABC. You'll hear Chris Christie announcing. Things have changed for Christie and Trump from their high expectations, and I don't think for the better. I mean, Christie's problems, you know them as well as I do. They festered longer and deeper than Trump's. I think ever since Hurricane Sandy and the governor's literal embrace of President Obama, who Christie, helped get reelected, Christie's tenure in office has been marked by melancholy and controversy. I mean, let's face it. Noam and I are New Jersey taxpayers still, and the state seems stuck in the recession that's largely dissipated in other states. You have severe problems now with the pension system, unfunded. You've had this relentless series of credit downgrades for New Jersey. And most damaging, I think, politically, on a national stage, there's the bitter aftertaste from Bridgegate. I mean, that scandal that followed, and you know it better than I, followed that decision to close the George Washington Bridge entrances for people from Bergen County as punishment for the failure of the Democratic mayor, I forget his name, of Fort Lee, to support the governor's reelection bid. That malicious decision reminded everyone of how Christie's bullying style probably inspired, if not specifically ordered, the bridge closure out of spite. I mean, does anyone doubt that he was capable of making that demand of his subordinates? And whether the governor was personally involved, and there is no finding in any court or any forum that he was personally involved, still there is little doubt that his former high school classmate, David Wildstein, who has already pled guilty, this Port Authority official, in federal court to conspiracy to deprive the people of Fort Lee of their constitutional rights, at the very least, Wildstein believed that he was doing something that Christie would approve. Do you have any doubts, Noam Layden, that Wildstein was doing something in closing that bridge that he thought Christie would approve of?
My guess is, yeah, that he created an atmosphere where his underlings thought that they were doing something that he would appreciate, sure.
And that is a cancer on Christie's candidacy. Sometimes you could beat cancer, but it ain't easy. I think his struggling in the early polls is clear evidence of how difficult it will be for Christie to shake off that scandal, given the fact that New Jersey is faring so poorly in terms of the economy. Now, Trump's problem's different. His candidacy was never given a chance by anybody except people like me who've spent quality time with this dynamo. I mean, he's a fabulous man. His rambling announcement for president, you remember it. We carried it here live. I mean, it made up in energy and clarity what it lacked, I think, in finesse and political correctness. And yet, Trump surging in the polls as a result. But there was a problem right from the get-go that needed remedy. And instead, Mr. Trump threw gasoline on the fire. During that speech, that first speech, that great first rambling, crazy speech, Trump seemed to label all undocumented Mexican immigrants, and I don't even think he made a distinction between documented and undocumented, Mexican immigrants, murderers, rapists, and drug dealers. I mean, half of them are women, the people coming over. 25% are children. They're all murderers and rapists and drug dealers. When people like me complained, instead of modifying his remarks, and maybe, God forbid, even saying he was sorry for insulting an entire race of people, what did Trump do? He dug in. So then you had the Latino establishment, which can get in its own ways, I was going to say nutty, but then that'll be the quote everybody uses, as unstoppable as the gay establishment, the Latino establishment has now struck back at Trump. And Trump, as a result, has been fired by NBC. His Miss USA, Miss Universe pageants will not be carried as planned, as scheduled by Univision, the Spanish language network. Celebrity Apprentice has been canceled, at least until another host for the program can be found. And maybe my friend, and he is my friend for life, maybe he can stare down the entire Hispanic community. Maybe he can use our passionate reaction to his political benefit, at least in the early stages of this process, in terms of appealing to Republican primary voters who tend to be hard right people. People who believe our nation is being overrun by a brown tide from south of the border. So maybe Donald can do that. Maybe Chris Christie can outrun Bridgegate. Maybe he can remind voters of the feisty independence that was so attractive to us when we first met the guy. But I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, and this is what I want to talk about today, both these tough guys have their work cut out for them.
77 WABC.
24 minutes after 10 o'clock. So here's what I said yesterday. Now, play a little clip from The Five, my show on Fox.
He broke my heart with this thing. I cannot begin to tell you how hurtful his comments about Mexican immigrants, however you feel about undocumented immigrants. Every poll says they commit fewer crimes than citizens, and to label them drug dealers and murderers and rapists when there are 500,000 undocumented immigrants in New York City in the five boroughs, you never hear about them raping. It is a preposterous charge. It is false.
And I went on to say that I had had a conversation with Donald Trump, who is my friend for life. He really is. I love the guy. But, you know, sometimes your friends just disappoint you, and you wouldn't be their friends if you didn't call them on it. I mean, I could have ignored it and just gone on and said, well, you know, he's right on so many other things. But we had the conversation, and I, you know, it was a long, heartfelt conversation. I'm honored that he took the time. He had just flown
in. Wait, so you talked to him?
Talked to him yesterday afternoon. Okay. He had just flown in from Chicago. And so we were on the phone, and I said, you know, factually, I think that it's incorrect. And he insisted that he was correct, and that he had spoken to a border guard, or I'm not exactly sure what his source was. And I said, even if you're right, you've heard a lot of innocent people. I mean, let's face it. You've heard a lot of innocent people that have nothing to do with drugs or murder or rape, and they work here and they work there, and that's not the kind of person you are. I know that. And I can't tell you really what he said in response, but you see his public statements. I mean, he, after firing from NBC, he really went after NBC. He says here, if NBC is so weak and so foolish to not understand the serious illegal immigration problem in the United States, coupled with the horrendous and unfair trade deals we are making with Mexico, then their contract-violating closure of Miss Universe, Miss USA will be determined in court. Furthermore, Trump writes, they will stand behind lying Brian Williams, but won't stand behind people to tell it like it is, as unpleasant as that may be. So why bring up Brian Williams? What does Brian Williams have to do with the price of tea in China? You know, it's just like a gratuitous little slam that seems spiteful to me.
Well, I've said this to you before. I've seen him as being very thin-skinned. And if you want to get into presidential politics and you're thin-skinned, that's not a good thing. But I also think he is in a political quandary, because if he's serious about this White House run, and I assume he is, if he backsteps on these comments, the people who would vote for him in those hard right states in those early primaries might see him as weak, right? If he backs off these comments, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, some of those early primary states where right now he's doing very well, those people back off their votes. Those are the people he needs to impress early on. Later in the campaign, he can say, I apologize.
It didn't work for Mitt Romney. They will self-deport, Romney said, leading up to Iowa. Self-deport. That means like the undocumented immigrants, 11 million of them, some of whom have been here for 20 years. We get on the bus and head for Sinaloa, Mexico. Like that was going to happen. And then he backed off and he tried to clarify his remarks later. But the Hispanic community didn't buy it and voted 3 out of 4 for President Obama. You can't win the White House without reaching across the traditional Republican Party definition. You must broaden the tent. You must invite in independents. That kind of language might win you the Iowa caucus. I agree with you. But it won't win you the presidency. And if you wait that long, you think the Hispanic community is like just going to hang around and wait, you know, hey, let's just wait, because he's gonna come around and say, oh, well, I didn't quite mean what I said. You know, what if they parade, 50 migrant children in front of Trump Tower?
Right.
And say, which one is the drug dealer, which is the murderer, and which is the rapist? Raise your hand, children. You know, there's a million ways they could cut him. I think NBC and Dropping Apprentice, NBC, I think that Howard Kurtz was on Megyn Kelly's terrific show with me last night. And Kurtz said something, if NBC wanted to fire Donald Trump for making these remarks, why didn't they fire him when he made the remarks rather than wait until, you know, all of these various groups began mobilizing against him? So NBC is clearly reacting to the negative feedback. Ladies and gentlemen, Brooke, Stephen, Rick, Barry, Paul, Virginia, stay right where you are. Your calls seem terrific. Forgive me for going on my rant. I had some things I had to get off my chest. As soon as Noam finishes his newscast, I'm coming to you for your calls at 866-HERALDO. And remember Governor Christie's announcement at the top of the hour right here on 77 WABC. 27 minutes after 10 o'clock, your turn. Christie at 11. Trump in hot water, maybe. Maybe it's working for him. Maybe instead of hot water, he's riding a breaking wave here. But what are you thinking? We're going to start with Virginia on Long Island. Thank you very much for calling 866-HERALDO. Virginia, what's on your mind?
Hi, Geraldo. Would you please play the full recording of Donald Trump regarding the Mexican immigrants? This morning,
all right, I'll retrieve that. In the meantime,
all of them were criminals, rapists, and murderers.
Right.
I did not hear that when he recorded his message. He said some were, and should we let the ones that are into the country?
So I will definitely replay it. He's had plenty of occasions to clarify. He continues to say that he's correct, and he did definitely say that Mexico is not sending us their best. They're sending us their drug dealers, they're rapists.
I have it here, part of it.
But no, well, I heard that, here's a little bit of the clip.
All right, here's a little bit of the clip. Okay, hold it, Virginia. Here's a little bit of the clip.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
It's and he didn't get far.
You didn't play the whole recording. Okay, I understand that. You have time. It's not the time to do it. But just let me say, please try to understand everybody's point of view, because I don't mind having immigrants in this country. I really don't. I want them vetted first, though. I don't want them sending over people that they had problems with so that we can have problems. Thank you, Geraldo.
I agree, Virginia, with your sentiments in broad strokes. We need a sane immigration policy, but you can't stereotype people. That's my basic point. Here's Barry in Edgewater. What's up, Barry?
Hi, Geraldo. How are you?
Thank you for calling.
Good. So when last we spoke, I asked you the question, and actually I've asked it twice. Can you
now picture it's the third time.
This man, right. Can you picture Donald Trump as president of the United States and leader of the free world? Okay. And also, I would like to have you mentioned that you've spoken to him.
I had a conversation last evening.
Right.
Yes.
What we need as president is a statesman, somebody who can conduct themselves, you know, across the whole specter of the world.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Barry. Don't you think that a lot of Trump's personal flamboyance is similar to Bibi Netanyahu, for example?
I do, but I think, and I truly believe this, I think that he had no real intention of seeing it through, because he has the money to play with this, and I think that it was all the attention is what he's trying to suck out of us. He wants the attention for his TV shows. Now he gets up there and he rants, and what comes out of his mouth, nobody is responsible for. But it is in line with his prior activity. I mean, he's done this his whole life. You've lived here. I've lived here. We've heard this his whole life. He's a blusterer. He's a bully.
But he's also a builder, isn't he, Barry? Look what he's done. Look what he's done. Like, you're in Edgewater. You look at the west side of Manhattan. It used to be all mangled piers, and he's made a neighborhood.
Run the United States of America. Geraldo.
Wouldn't you like him to do what he did to the west side of Manhattan, to the roads of America? I mean, seriously, Barry. Yeah, I know. And we love you, and I appreciate your call. Thank you. Let me take Brooke in Long Island. Hey, Brooke.
Hi, good morning. I heard that you said that, you know, a lot of people have their feelings hurt from Trump.
Right.
There's a difference between feelings and somebody doing something illegal.
I agree.
I'm a mom.
I agree.
I have three children. I am supposed to do the best I can to teach my kids to do the right thing. If we elect Hillary Clinton, That's not doing the right thing. We have a choice on election day. Voting for somebody who maybe doesn't have all that illegal stuff in her past, to voting for somebody who has, okay, he's got some issues on part, but it's called, we must vote for somebody who literally understands the rule of law. You cannot vote for somebody who would circumvent the law. I don't understand. I am not old. I'm not young. I'm right in the middle. And
you sound lovely.
I'm absolutely floored and flabbergasted that the conversations are more about what Trump has said out of his mouth than other than the legalese, the actual illegal stuff that a woman who wants to be the president of all of us, I can't let that go.
Which crime did Hillary? I'm curious. Yeah. Which crime are you alleging Secretary of State Clinton committed?
This is something that when you have your own server, you get a subpoenaed. How can anybody say, I'm going to ignore the subpoena? Excuse me, assistant. Could you guys all delete the information that's on my server? And also, I'm a mom. I don't call my assistant to clean, to say, hey, I got a problem with my plumbing. Call the plumber. Is that what we want? Is that what we're going to elect? Somebody who's never made the phone call like the regular mom does? That is what I'm trying to say.
I got it, Brooke.
Is
I got
in
it.
A whole you, realm of her own.
You don't like does Hillary. Who do you like among the Republicans? Just curious.
I'm being honest with you. I'm a registered independent. I take my vote really, really seriously.
I could tell that, but who are you favoring?
I will scrutinize. I will do everything I can to make sure that my vote is the right choice. I don't care, you know, black, white, Chinese. I don't care if you're a woman. I don't care. If you're honest, you have integrity, and you really, really, really want to do the right thing. And also, when the men and women on the floor of the House and the Senate, when they disparage each other, they are disparaging their constituents. In each state, you have Republicans.
Brooke, what do you do when the kids act up and they don't listen?
It's my wording. They have respect. They tell me flat out. My 13-year-old daughter just told this to me 2 weeks ago.
What'd she say?
I have respect for your mom. Because you have to teach and you have to use those words.
Well, that's nice to have a 13-year-old say that.
Again,
okay, Brooke,
I'm
I gotta go,
eclectic.
Honey. I gotta go. But excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you too. Thank
do the
you.
Right.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. The last salutation. Hi, Joan in Garden City.
Hi, hello. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Well,
I sense
you.
I'm in the minority this morning, but go ahead.
You are. I must tell you, I love you. I watch the Five. I like all of Fox. But I honestly think that there are many people that are agreeing with most of what Donald Trump is saying, and they're afraid to admit it. And I will be honest with you, two callers ago, the woman was right. We're not talking, he's not talking immigration per se. He's talking illegal immigration. And I see around in the newspapers, and I shouldn't say this, it's really politically incorrect, that much of what Donald Trump is saying about some of the people that are committing the crime are coming here illegally, and I don't think we know what to do with them.
Well, I think that the last part of what you said is accurate. We don't know what to do with them. I think the first part, though, is a generalization that's just not true. Every poll that I've said that I've seen, as I said last night on Megyn Kelly's show, every poll, virtually every poll, shows that the undocumented immigrant population commits fewer crimes than the citizen population. And the reason the experts assume is that they want to keep so low a profile so they don't get in a jam, so they don't get deported. You know, there's a kind of logic to it. Now, I totally agree that from El Salvador, for example, you've had some of this MS-13 gang-banging, murdering drug dealers. They've come in, and they're horrible people, but they are the minority. And the Salvadorans came in after the Civil War of 1982 there in Salvador, and they came. But and anyway, I think that when you think
John,
I got to go. I have one more call. I got to squeeze in. But you are wonderful, and don't be a stranger. Call us anytime.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Here's Jim in the Bronx. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, Grandpa. How are you?
Oh, it's my grandpa. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an announcement. Grandpa and I have an announcement. Jim McCormick and I are proud to announce. Go ahead, Grandpa, you do it.
We had a baby girl this morning at 8:01.
His daughter Lauren, my son Cruz, had a baby daughter. Do we have a name yet, Grandpa?
Not that I know of.
Me either. I've been asking all day, all morning. I wanted to get the name before I made the announcement. You just gave me the chills.
As soon as I hear something, I'll give you a call.
Have you been to the hospital yet?
No, they won't let us in
until 12. They won't let us in. Or if you get there before me, wait up.
I won't go before you.
I don't want the girl to see you and prefer you before me. All right, lots of love, Grandpa. You put a tear in my eye.
You too, bye-bye.
All right, see you later. Lots of love.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm pulling out the booze right now.
Yeah, let's go. Let's start drinking. I have no television today.
Oh, good. So we can really drink.
47 minutes after, this is Grandpa Geraldo. 6 minutes to 11 o'clock, and the Chris Christie announcement that he is a candidate for president. Donald Trump is already announced and has surged to a solid second place in all the polls that I have seen. Frankie. What's up, Frankie? Thank you for calling.
Good morning, and how are you, sir?
Good, good. What's on your mind, buddy?
Great. Actually, I can't believe that this country's become so terminal in their thinking that they don't see who Donald Trump is. And it's simply...
Who is Donald Trump?
He's a patriot. He may not be as couth and debonair as Mr. Kerry with his conversations or his speech writing like Obama, that it's so eloquent and it's ridiculous. But he says what's on his heart. He's America. And I think he's got the backing of the people that are just sick and tired of the way the politicians, both Democrats and Republicans, have run this country. We're being sold down the drain. And I'm sure there's many people out there, politicians alike, that are going to go to the wall with this guy and point at everything he does. But the bottom line, after the dust clears, Donald Trump's in your corner, Mr. and Mrs. America. That's the guy you should be looking at.
Well said, Frankie. Well said, dude.
You.
Well said. He should hire you as his speechwriter if he needs one. But well done. Well done.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I think that Donald Trump is a patriot. I have no doubt about that. I think that he's a fine man, a great businessman, very creative. I love his energy. I love that he can focus on so many different things at the same time, at this golf course, that building, this program. I mean, he really is a multifaceted, very deep guy. But, you know, sometimes you have to be able to say, you know, like, for instance, they're quoting me now from some show, The Wrap, a cable, not even a cable show, an internet show I did, The Wrap. And Fox wasn't crazy about me doing the show because they haven't been kind. Anyway, so at some point, but it wasn't The Wrap's fault. Some point, if the quote that I've been seeing is correct, I said something like, you haven't seen this kind of political excitement in a much different way since 9/11 to the Trump announcement. Anyway, I don't know what I said exactly, but 9/11 was part of it, and the Trump announcement, and somehow got transmogrified in a paragraph there. And it was like the dumbest quote I ever saw in my entire history from myself. And if I said it, I profoundly apologize. I didn't mean to suggest anything of the sort. You know, sometimes people say stupid stuff, and you got to say you're sorry.
And now, as Livingston and New Jersey turns its gaze to the rest of America today, what do we see and what do we have to confront? We need a campaign of big ideas and hard truths and real opportunity for the American people. We need to fix a broken entitlement system that is bankrupting our country. We have candidates who have said we can't confront this because if we do, we'll be lying and stealing from the American people. Let me fill everybody else in. The lying and stealing has already happened. The horse is out of the barn. We got to get it back in, and you can only do it by force.
The governor there making the big announcement we've been waiting for months. Was there really a back and forth of him trying to decide whether he'd pull the trigger on this campaign, or was he always in it from day one? We don't know for sure. The thought is he's laid out this campaign ever since he was head of the Republican Governors Association, making great relationships all across the country where he could go into states during the election season and count on the support of those governors in those really important states like Ohio, Florida. So he's in it. He's made the big announcement. One of the things he said during this speech this morning He said, it's an opportunity to do something great. Every morning, he says, I wake up with the opportunity to do something great. He says, now I want to wake up with the opportunity to do something great, not just in New Jersey, for the entire nation. Of course, now the question is, will he be able to get past some of the past scandals? Never indicted in the GWB scandal of 2 years ago, but people around him were. Well, does it matter to the rest of the nation, or is that really just a New Jersey story? We don't know the answer to that. His fight with state workers over pensions, is that just a New Jersey story, or will the rest of the nation care about that? And so we'll watch and wonder what's going to happen. Of course, his strategy now, what we're being told from people inside his campaign, it's all in for New Hampshire, which, of course, is the first primary state. The thought is, on this campaign's part, if he can pull up big, maybe win it, even second or third, that will propel this campaign to a new level. People will start to take the governor seriously. What do you think about that?
Well, welcome back. The governor has made his announcement. He said something, Noam Layden, that I found fascinating. He said, the lying and stealing must stop by force if necessary. I mean, I could just picture, what is he going to go in and like rouse people out and give them a shaking, hold them out the window by their ankles? You know, I thought that he seemed, you know, he's Governor Chris Christie, filled with that ebullience, filled with that power. There is no mistaking his magnetic personality. I love his wife, Mary Pat, the First Lady of New Jersey, a gracious and smart person. I was involved with an evening she put together raising funds and awareness to fight the problems of the families with kids of developmental disabilities were facing. You know, so they have so much to admire. The question that you raise is the good question. Is he forever tarnished by this scandal that didn't quite get him? I keep being drawn back to the fact that Livingston High School, David Wildstein went there also. The now confessed conspirator on Bridgegate, who used his power to inconvenience the people of Bergen County and Fort Lee and Edgewater, where Forrest Neal, my nephew and assistant, spent 6 hours in traffic on that one day, the first day of school, trying to get into the city. You know, I guess he had nothing to do with it. At least the feds haven't, they haven't given him exactly a green light or a bill of health, but he's not been indicted. He claims that the state has cleared him. It is fascinating to see now whether he can recover that mojo. I think that what he said about his achievements in New Jersey, were I to criticize anything substantively, Noam, as far as I know, New Jersey has lagged the nation in terms of the economic recovery. As far as I know, New Jersey is burdened by the most onerous tax scheme of any state in the union. As far as I know, New Jersey leads the nation in terms of people leaving the state,
yeah,
compared to people coming into the state. So I think it is extremely problematic that this man, and remember, we're talking about a tale of two tough men today, Chris Christie, who I otherwise admire, Chris Christie and Donald Trump, whether they can overcome these in some ways self-created crises will be the most fascinating aspect of this phase of the presidential campaign.
You know, let's talk about the positives here. Let's compare those two candidates because they're sort of similar in that they're both brash. They're out there. They're not afraid to say what's on their mind. Watch this speech compared to Donald Trump's 2 weeks ago. This one's polished. There's no notes. He's speaking off the top of his head. He clearly had an idea of what he wanted to say, what high notes he wanted to hit. He hit all of them and then hit it out of the park when he said he was going to make this announcement. Very different than the Trump speech. It was laid out. It was those town hall meetings. Remember, he's had 100 and some odd, 130, 140 town hall meetings across New Jersey, has been doing those town hall meetings up in New Hampshire. So he's very polished. He's very smooth when he gets in front of an audience like this. And I don't see, have you seen any notes, a teleprompter? I don't see that anywhere. And he's been speaking now for 40 minutes, pretty much uninterrupted, no ums, no ahs, very clear, concise what he wants to say, what message he's trying to get across.
it is, to me, a melancholy assessment of the people who run for public office that they cannot speak extemporaneously when the, you know, when so much is on the line. I have no doubt but that I could rap for 2 hours without oohs and ahs about subjects that I am conversant with. That more don't do it, or that more don't trust themselves, and Barack Obama foremost amongst them. Barack Obama never met a teleprompter he did not like.
Right.
And, you know, to see him speaking extemporaneously, and I think that when he does, as he did in the Charleston, South Carolina church eulogy, it was wonderful.
You get a real moment.
It was a real moment, and he's been ignoring that. Deborah Valentine, our own news reporter, is in the hall there, is in the high school right now. Deb, thank you so much for being with us. Give us a report. What's it like in that room right now?
It is an absolutely packed gymnasium here at Livingston High School. This is where Chris Christie graduated from in 1980. As a matter of fact, it's his alma mater. He was class president. He's up on the podium right now to an absolutely rousing crowd. You can hear them in the background right now. And Geraldo, why did he choose Livingston High School to make this announcement today that he is, in fact, a candidate for the United States presidency, the GOP nomination? Because he said, this is where it all began. I was class president. I got my foundation here. I got my confidence here. He says that he can beat anybody, even if he ends up running against the Democratic front runner, Hillary Clinton. He says he has learned as governor here in New Jersey that he's not going to listen to the policy pundits. He's not going to listen to the polls. He says as governor, he can fight special interests. That's what he'll do as a presidential candidate. And as president, he's going to work with what the public wants. He said he's never going to waver from the truth. He's up there on the podium right now, surrounded by his family. Mary Pat and his children are here as well as the governor's brother. And he's saying that he has the opportunity to seek the highest office, and that only in America could all of you believe that their voices and your efforts can make a difference and change a country as big and vast and powerful as this one. Only in America, he's saying. Only in America.
You know, Deb, what's the vibe in the room, though? Is there optimism? Are they people defensive? I mean, do you get a read on that?
Well, the people in the room here are 99.9% Christie supporters. There's as much media here as there are supporters, as a matter of fact. And it is an absolutely rousing crowd. Now, outside, it's a different story, Geraldo, because there are protesters outside. The protesters, there are several hundred of them. New Jersey Education Association is here. Of course, the teachers have always had a big gripe with Christie as governor because of pension reform. He didn't fund pension reform as promised, as became law here in New Jersey in 2012. And they're outside protesting with bullhorns. They're all wearing red shirts. Also here are the people who oppose the demolition of the Greystone Psychiatric Center down in Morristown. So the protesters are outside, but the supporters are all inside, and it's an absolutely rousing crowd. Christie still speaking up on the podium, announcing his candidacy.
All right, Deb, let us know if those protesters act out. So let me just ask, before I let you go, Deb Valentine on the line. She is at Livingston High School in Essex County right now, the alma mater of the governor of New Jersey, who has just announced, Chris Christie, that he is a candidate for the Republican nomination for the presidency of the United States. Are all the protesters from the teachers' union, are there any spontaneous protesters, or is this all an organized political demonstration by a little clique that he has hurt politically?
Before I came inside, before the overflow crowd was no longer allowed in, you can hear the applause going up right now. Any protesters that I saw, several buses appeared organized. It was the teachers' union, and mostly people who are upset with Christie's policies on his pension plan. A lot of teachers and retired teachers. Christie has just finished announcing his candidacy for presidency. He's put down the microphone. He and his wife, Mary Pat, and family are waving to the crowd right now. They are shaking hands. I'm sure you can hear the music in the background and the applause. People holding Christie 2016 signs right now. I've got one person right next to me. He's got a sign that says Christie 2016, ChrisChristie.com. That's his website that Christie unveiled over the weekend. Sir, tell me what your name is.
Landon Mindy.
Why are you here supporting Chris Christie for president?
Because he's going to be the guy who we're looking for to run this country for the next 4 years.
Why do you feel he'd make a great president?
Look at him. The people want to hear what he has to say. He tells everybody what we need. He'll fix the country. This is exactly what we need.
Any doubt that he can beat the other Republican candidates than Hillary Clinton?
No doubt. Everyone just has to hear him. As soon as they hear him and hear what he has to say, that's when he's the best. That's when he touches the people, and that's when they'll understand he can fix the problems.
Okay, Geraldo, you heard it from one of the Christie supporters here, a rousing crowd. Chris Christie going around right now, shaking the hands of the thousands of supporters that have turned out here at Livingston High School. Again, Chris Christie announcing today that, yes, in fact, he is a Republican candidate for the presidency of the United States. From Livingston, he will be heading to New Hampshire.
Deb Valentine reporting from Livingston High School in Essex County, where Chris Christie has just announced that he is officially a candidate for the presidency of the United States. When we come back, Congressman Peter King, the Rivera family congressman, will tell us about these recent alarming messages that the terrorists are plotting something awful for the United States on July 4th. I have to ask Congressman King whether these warnings serve any useful purpose other than to scare folks.
Geraldo, 77 WABC.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. If I could have one member in the House of Representatives, it would be this one. Peter King, the Rivera family, West Babylon, Long Island congressman, one of the most learned and experienced hands when it comes to national security, is on the line. Congressman, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Rallo. Thanks for the kind words. I appreciate it.
So what do you think of, I think you have a good relationship with Governor Chris Christie. What do you think of his announcement?
I think it's important that he get into the race. I think he can, again, serve a purpose. He certainly represents a brand of Northeast Republicanism, which I think should be part of the national debate. He's starting off a bit behind, but again, at this stage, he can make that up. So, again, it'll be interesting to see whether or not he can translate that Jersey personality into a national personality. To me, it adds a lot to the party.
You know, you have, as you were speaking, it reminded me of when Newsday, during the days when they were attacking you and how daunting that was, and you had to overcome that. You know, you did it with moxie, and they had nothing on you. You had done well. They just didn't like you ideologically and philosophically. Chris Christie, on the other hand, has a bit of baggage. Do you think he can overcome the media's perception of him now as, you know, as someone who's lost his luster?
He is going to have to fight to overcome that. I mean, obviously, the whole thing with the bridge, how much of it is true, how much of it isn't. The fact is, it certainly knocked him back, and that's something that no political person wants to be involved in, because whether you're innocent or not, once those charges are made and you're on defense, every time you're on defense, you know, you're losing ground. So, but again, he has time, you know, to make that up. I mean, a lot depends on what comes out of any trials or pretrial hearings, but again, I don't think he would enter the race if he didn't feel he could handle all that.
My guest is Congressman Peter King from Suffolk County on Long Island. You know, a man deeply versed in national security and intelligence. And recently, Congressman, you were commenting about these alarming reports of potential terror attacks over the July 4th holiday weekend. I worry that the alarms do nothing but unsettle and upset and frighten people that can't, you know, folks like us can do very little in terms of preventing terrorism. Why even scare people, I guess, is my question, Congressman.
Yeah, well, I've known about this for at least 2 to 3 weeks now, and I had said nothing up until the other day when the Homeland Security Secretary put out a statement about possible threats over the 4th of July. One of the reasons it was made public now, is because it had been pretty much kept under wraps, is because the series of arrests in New York City. There's been 5 arrests in the last week, which is almost unprecedented to find 5 ISIS people arrested during such a brief period of time in one geographic location. The fact that you have been the 3 attacks in Europe carried out almost simultaneously. That combined with just different information that had been acquired over the past several weeks, I believe the Homeland Security Secretary felt compelled to put out a statement before there was a lot of speculation, a lot of rumors, a lot of gossip going on. He wanted people to know that we are aware of something that's happening and that we are on top of it. And I think the fact the NYPD is working round the clock on this, the FBI. So it's not something.
But what are we supposed to do about it? What are me and Noam Layden supposed to do? What can we do?
I would say, first of all, if you see something, say something. And also, I think, and this again, one of those statements that gets me in trouble, but if there's going to be a threat, it's going to come from the Muslim community and from within that community. So I would ask, especially those people in the Muslim community, if they see or hear anything that's unusual, it's different. Someone who has just moved in, who they feel shouldn't be there, or there's reasons why he might be there, or different meetings that might be held. Let the police know about it.
All right, Congressman Peter King, I've got to cut you off, Congressman. We're out of time, but good advice. Listen, my brother in the Muslim community. Thank you.